welcome to episode 4 of the Michael U Podcast. I have really enjoyed this process of having a podcast and kind of getting a little bit of addicted to it. I think it's a ton of fun to obviously interview people, but just to be able to, you know, share ideas. And I have a really good feeling about this podcast. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. So today I thought I would share something because I don't have a guest and I'm here in the office on a Friday afternoon. And I figured that I would just share some of some knowledge. For those of you that don't know, I love to read. I'm a big reader. And there's a book that impacted my life very, very greatly. And it's helped me innumerable ways to enhance my business and really helped me get over a lot of different things in terms of like sales and starting businesses, and really like kind of created a foundational system for me to get started in business. And it was very, very helpful. So just to give you a little bit of background, I was a pretty obnoxious kid and I was pretty loud, and I was a little bit obnoxious as a young kid, and I was kind of naughty, and I kind of spoke when I wasn't supposed to spoke. I was a little bit rebellious. And then I got through school, and in school, because I didn't kind of fit in that well, I got bullied quite a bit and I really didn't fit in with the in crowd, so I kind of got quiet for a little while. And when I first got started in business, and I got first started in real estate, it was really challenging because I kind of had to break out of my shell. And I asked my uncle, who was a franchise salesman, his name's Lloyd Shears, who was kind of one of my mentors. Even now I see him once a week at our family breakfast, and he's been a very impactful person in my life. I will have him on the podcast one day. He is like a wealth of knowledge, and he's done very, very well in business. He's one of my most favorite people on the planet. And I asked him, like, point blank, what was something that he would advise me to read. And the first book he told me to read is one that changed my whole life. Everything changed after reading this book. It helped me so much. I read it once per year, and it is something that probably a lot of you guys have read out there, but like I almost look at it as a like kind of the gold standard for business and for sales. So that book is by Dale Carnegie. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And it is packed full of really great tips and tricks and knowledge in order for us to be able to get people on our side. And I'm in the real estate business. I'm in the real estate agent business. And that business is very much about the people. It's everything to do with people, and very, you know, somewhat to do a little bit about real estate and facts and statistics. But the real main crux of the business is people, serving people, helping people, getting to know them, getting to understand, you know, what's going on in their mind and in their life. And it was such an impactful book for me because it helped me to be good with people, because either I was overly obnoxious and really over the top with people, or I was like dead quiet in a wallflower. I kind of was on two sides of a different spectrum for the first 10 years of my life being super obnoxious, and then the next 10 years of my life being very quiet, and then kind of going off to being an adult where I had to start working. And this book really changed everything. It helped me in innumerable ways. So I want to share some important notes of this book, kind of the Cole's notes and how it impacted me as well. And just wanted to share that openly with you guys, because for those of you that haven't read it, please read it. You can do the audiobook if you want, but if you're gonna do the audiobook, do it in a dark room. Don't do it while you're, you know, cooking instant noodles or while you're doing gardening or anything. Like, pay real close attention to it, because like I read this book, when I read it, I felt like it had like a magical power. So I hope you take it and use it. So I use the principles of this book every single day, and it's helped me to obviously with my business and helped me with my relationships and with my family and with my friendships, and just even as a trying to be a better human being. So I'm just gonna talk to you about some of the main principles of it. Essentially, you know, the title of the book is very self-explanatory. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Now, above all else, people want to work with people they like. If you work in any environment, it's not always the most skilled individual that kind of comes out on top. It's the people that they like. So rapport and friendship is very, very important in business. And that was one of the first things that kind of stuck out to me with the book, was that it is important to make relationships, to be really good with people, to build rapport very quickly. And I learned a lot of those techniques through this book and through other books that I've read about trying to build friendships and helping to move things forward in business. So some of the first things we're going to talk about is this chart, the six ways to make people like you. Now I'm going to talk about each one. I'll just tell you all six first, and then I'll talk about each one so that if you guys want to fast forward, you can fast forward it. You don't want to hear my voice anymore, that's fine. So number one is become genuinely interested in other people. Number two is to smile. Number three is to remember that person's name and use that name very liberally. Number four is to be a good listener and encourage others to talk about themselves. Number five is to talk in terms of other people's interests. And number six is to make other people feel important and do it very sincerely. So these are the six ways in which to make people like you. And I think they also make a huge difference in how you develop rapport and relationships with others. When you get into the real estate business, it really is about people and developing quick friendships and memorable experiences and memorable conversations that people are going to have with you, so that you stick in their mind. You know, if you meet someone at an open house or you meet someone at a party and all you do is rattle off on real estate statistics, they're not going to remember too much about the conversation. They're not going to remember who you are. But if you actually show a genuine interest in their life, it makes a huge difference. So that's number one. So become genuinely interested in other people. When I go to an open house or when I go to somebody's home to do an evaluation or whatever it is, whenever I engage with someone else, I try to become genuinely interested in that person. So if I see an interesting piece of jewelry, I ask, where did you get that? If I see that they're very in shape, I ask, hey, do you go to a gym? Like, what's going on? If I see two Chinese ladies arguing over a bill, I'll throw my bill in there and I'll say, would you like to pay for my bill too? Or something along those lines. I just try to become genuinely interested in people, where I try to like see something or hear something that they're really passionate about or that they're talking about. And you know, I just ask a lot of questions around that. And I love that. I'm very curious. I love to be curious about, you know, what people are doing. And I think that's why I love doing these podcasts so much, is because I get to learn so much about the people I interview, and I get to learn about what they are interested in and what they're doing. And I really like to see their minds at work and at play. And so, you know, I'm a really big proponent of genuinely understanding somebody. Try to understand and listen to their interests and passions, and I think that's really a great way of building rapport. So there's something in sales called a 70-30 rule. In a listing presentation, in a buyer's presentation, in any kind of presentation you do, if you're talking 30% of the time and you're asking most of the questions, you're in control and that meeting's going very, 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 very well. But if you're talking 80% of the time and they're asking you questions and you're not doing so well, you're actually not doing so hot. So we really kind of take that into, you know, I always thought, especially when you started in real estate, that you get to someone's house and you do a presentation for them. You sit down with the folder, you slap it on the table, you do a presentation, say this is how much your home is worth, and use a presentation like features and benefits. These are all the good things about Michael and what we do. There's a great stuff about Oakwin. And then you ask, like, what do you think? You want to sign? But in fact, that hasn't been the best way of doing business for us. It's always sitting down and really getting an understanding of that individual, like what their passions and interests are, really help them to open up and being curious about their life and their experiences. And I think that when people talk about themselves, something in the brain just clicks and they kind of get some endorphins about it. And it's, you know, I don't want to say everyone is selfish, but most people think about themselves first. So it's good to kind of hear and kind of let people talk about themselves a lot, which is great. So the second thing is to smile. So I had I had braces when I was a teenager. So when I had braces, I was very embarrassed of them. I was like, oh my gosh, I have braces. It's like so ugly. I never smiled in any photos. I think from the age of 13 to the age of 17, I never smiled. And if I did smile, it was very much a smirk without showing my teeth. And so I didn't smile very much. And this is a big one that I learned, because I had to practice my smile. I don't know, for those of you that don't know, I had a sales coach, and that sales coach would make me practice in the mirror introductions, and I'd have to do repetitions for handshaking and all different types of things, especially smiling, because my natural state was not to smile. And so once I understood that people really gain warmth when you smile at them, I think was a huge help. And there's something biologically, if you show someone your teeth, this is from like ape upbringing or evolution or something, when you show your teeth, you're kind of saying, hey, I'm trustworthy, I'm okay, like from a ape to ape situation. So smiling is something that is huge, and I've noticed that when people are having a bad day at the coffee shop, once I shoot them a smile, they smile back and they're in a happy mood and we have a conversation or whatever it is, and you know, it's worked out really well. So that's number two. Number three is to remember that person's name and to use that name very liberally. So this is a big one, because a lot of people say, I'm very, very bad at remembering people's names. And I think it's not because of your memory. I actually think it's probably because you're a little bit selfish. You only think about yourself. And you don't put value on other people. So for those of you that have said that, you really should rethink your life. But I think according to the book, and I know it's true because I've been doing it for the last 15 years of my life, is that every time you say someone's name, you get closer to them. And I say people's names over and over and over again in conversations. I say, so if, for example, Jill, the editor of this podcast, who's probably going to be the only person listening to it, but maybe not. So if I was talking to Jill, instead of saying, hi, how are you? We could say, Jill, how are you? So like, totally different. So the second version of that, it relays closeness, it relays familiarity. And according to the book, the sweetest sound in everyone's ears and every person is their own name. So using that very liberally will help you to remember someone's name. So as soon as you meet someone, introduce yourself, ask for their name. If you don't get it right away, just ask them to spell it for you. And it's weird because I've asked people, I said, hi, I'm Michael. And they say, I'm John. And then I said, can you spell that for me? Like J-O-N. And then I'm like, oh, John. Okay, got it. But, so I've embarrassed myself a few times, but then I use it a lot. And then I'm like, John, how you doing? Tell me about, you look tan. Where'd you go, John? Did you go to the beach or did you go traveling somewhere? And then opening up that conversation using the name John a lot. So I think that that's been very, very helpful. So whether that's in presentations you do in your business, or even interacting with customers, or doing a job interview, huge. So the fourth is to be a good listener and encourage others to talk about themselves. So we talked earlier about the 30-70 rule, where you're talking about 30% of the time and you're listening about 70% of the time. And really getting people to talk about themselves is a huge part of sales. I think whenever, for example, if we were to put it in an open house situation, instead of me talking about how new the appliances look, I ask them, have you ever cooked with a gas stove? And then they'll say, I have or have not. And it's, well, do you love to cook or are you a microwave guy? And they go, well, I love to cook. I'm like, what's the best dish? Let's see, you're having your parents over for dinner, you're having the Dalai Lama over for dinner, what are you making them? And then they start talking about their favorite food, and they're having a conversation with you about like when they made that, like, so did you make that for family, like how often do you do that? And then essentially their layers are just being kind of coming off, and they're less defensive when you ask them a question like, so are you guys working with an agent right now? So if you run up to them and say like, hey, are you working with a realtor? They're probably gonna reject you. But if you kind of take some time and be a good listener, encourage them to talk about themselves. When you ask them a question like, hey, so would you like a guide with you as you buy or sell your next property? And then they might say yes or no. But I think building that rapport is huge. So being a good listener, what has helped me is to really maintain eye contact. I know it's listening is with your ears, but if I make eye contact with someone and I kind of like keep looking at them, I become a good listener. As a child, I was diagnosed with ADD, so attention deficit disorder, and also ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder, which means I move around. I'm kind of jittery, and I kind of like when I hear like a light switch flick off, I like immediately like flinch over there and look and see. So I found listening really tough because I would drown them out and think about something else. I would kind of flip back and forth. But if I make good eye contact, I kind of make sure if I'm studying their face as they're talking, I really become a good listener and I'm able to pick off on thing and really keep a conversation going just based on being genuinely interested, but also really listening intently to what they're saying. So if they were saying, oh, they're talking about a travel, like, when did you take that trip? Was that last year? Was that 10 years ago? Wow, what's stopping you from taking a trip this year? And kind of moving from there. So being a good listener is huge. And talking, the number five is talking in terms of other people's interests. So I have weird interests. No one else shares my interests besides a motley crew of nerds. So I don't really talk about my interests too much. I really talk about theirs. And so whether that's sports or whether that's restaurants or food or whether that's family or whether that's philosophy or whether that's goals or whether that's cars, I try to talk into lingo as much as I can. So whatever that is, and it's funny because I don't know anything about cars, but every time I see someone with a smoking cool car, I talk to them about it. I say, hey, did you build this engine yourself? And then I say, can I see it? What is this? You gotta tell me. I don't know much, but I want to know. I want to learn more. So this is a steering wheel. And I go, wow, that's advanced. So whatever it is, so talk in terms of their interests. So whatever that is, especially in the real estate business, if you're going on a lot of listing presentations, which I do, I try to pick up cues of their house. If they're very design forward, I ask them, I said, hey, did you design this yourself? Did you hire an interior designer? Who chose the paint color of this property? Like, did you choose it? Because it was a very, very good choice. It complements the furniture very, very well. It lets a lot of natural light in. I think we try to talk in those terms a lot. Yeah, and just really understand their interests better. And then number six is to make the other person feel important and do it sincerely. Okay, so that's really about complimenting. And I don't like to do right away with someone. I like to warm them up with a little bit of rapport building. And then I'll try to say something genuine. So hypothetically, let's say family of five, they're buying a property so mom can move in with them. I would look the son in the eye or the daughter in the eye. I'd say, you are a very, very good son. You're a very good daughter to take care of your mother, and I really respect that. Or somebody's thinking about buying an investment property. You know, not many people these days prepare for the future like you guys are doing. And you're really securing your financial future and your family's financial future. And you're really, like, I admire you a lot. So, you know, try to make them feel important in some way. Giving them significance is something that psychologically is like candy to a human brain. So, you know, trying to do that in a certain way, it really helps people to kind of get closer to you, to like you. So whether that's in a variety of different environments, it's something that's really helpful to be able to do. So, you know, I use these all the time in my business. I use it all the time in my life. On last podcast, my girlfriend Priya was with me. And I don't know for those of you that have not seen her yet, but she's way out of my league. Significantly many, many levels higher than me in terms of a scale of 1 to 10 on the looks barometer. Okay. And I feel like because we had such a great conversation and, you know, I don't want to say, you know, I used mind games, but I was genuinely interested. I was very curious in her and she is so amazing as well. She kind of flipped it on me the last podcast that we had. So, but yeah, so just being able to achieve these things, I was always surprised. One of the first chapter in the book talks about a character, I think his name is Charles Schultz. I can't remember. Well, I should remember, but Schultz. And he was one of the Charles Schwab. I think Charles Schultz is the Charlie Brown guy. Can't remember. But, and how during the Great Depression, he was one of the richest men in the world. And it was because of his likability that he would walk down a factory line and everyone knew him and everyone liked him and he was the most well-liked individual. And how that really relates to business. And there are a lot of different currencies. You know, money is not the only currency. Social awareness and relatability, relationships. That's a form of currency, actually, you know? So it is helpful to have those things in line. So just some other things about some different techniques in handling people as well, based on the book, especially if you work on a team, especially if you're in like an environment where you're like mine, where I'm working with a team of 5-6 people, and with Oakwin, 20 people. We really try to take these things into consideration. So number one is like, do not criticize, condemn, or complain. So I used to do this very openly. I do not do it anymore. So all the things that go wrong, because nothing is perfect, we don't criticize, condemn, or complain, especially out in public. That is something that we do not, we never do. If there is anything, we always witness it, file it in our minds, and then bring people aside to understand where that came from, and how in the future we're not going to be doing that again. And that's a big part of being a good leader, to have a steady hand. So don't criticize, condemn, or complain. A second would be to give honest and sincere appreciation. So I'm huge on giving appreciation and doing it in a public way. So we'll do it in a staff meeting, or we'll do it, I truly do appreciate these people. Like, all the staff we have, all the people that work in our team, like, they're not forced to be there with you. They're really not. Like, they're volunteering their time and energy to, like, further your ambitions or further the shared purpose for the group. And I think it's really great to give people some sincere appreciation for all the hard work that they do. And yeah, I don't, without sounding too sappy, in our company, I think from an intelligence perspective, I believe that I'm probably the lowest intelligence person here, because there's so many great, sharp, intelligent minds that we have in our office, and they're diligent, and they're hardworking, they're accurate, they're detailed, they're great technicians, and they have great personalities. I'm so thrilled with our team that we have at Oakwin. And also in my resale team, or my real estate sales team that we get to work with every day. And they're just so amazing. Always hungry to learn, fantastic people. So give honest and sincere appreciation to the people around you. And the third is to arouse in the other person an eager want. So basically, I think it's important to be on the same page. I think a person that's traveling towards a purpose or towards a destination is a happy person. So understanding what that is and how they're going to get there, and helping them to get there, and also understanding what your goals are and how you're going to get there, and it's a shared experience as opposed to a one-way street. So there's so many facts and great things. These are just some kind of popcorn style things that have stood out to me when you're interacting with other people and trying to win more friends. So beginning with praise and honest appreciation is a big one. I'm big on whenever I start a meeting, I always start with gratitude. So I'm very thankful to be here on this podcast with you guys, be in your ears for the time that we're together. And it's interesting, because when I get to externalize these ideas, they get kind of concrete in my own mind and in my own DNA. So I don't know if I'm helping you in any way, but I know that this podcast is helping me in a strange way to really solidify some of these things, and to learn more from the guests that we have, and some of these things that we're gonna do when we're alone, like we are now in the office in the afternoon on a Friday on a sunny day. And so that's a big one. So begin every meeting with some praise, honest appreciation, and that's always a great way to break down a lot of walls to get started. There's a lot of different things, you know, from a negotiation tactical perspective in the book, getting people to answer questions with yeses a lot, and that kind of creates a momentum toward them saying yes later on. You know, if there's an argument, we try to avoid it and try to create a solution. You know, when you're appealing to nobler motives, there's just so many things that are in the book that have impacted me, and these are just a few of them that I've kind of shared with you. Those 6 rules for making friends and likability is a big one, and then just handling people are huge too. Those are that's the meat of that hamburger there. And just trying to, just even if you can conceptually get that people are hugely important and they're going to be important for your business, if you're good with people, it's going to accelerate your business and accelerate your career substantially. To not create friction and to be a good partner, friend, leader, I think is something that's really cool in this book. And it just kind of framed my mind that how important that was. It's really interesting as well, because even with apes and monkeys, so the alpha male in a herd of apes is never the largest, strongest male. It's typically one on the smaller side of the spectrum, but they're very, very well liked by all the other apes, and that's a very typical community. It is led by the most well-liked individual versus the strongest and most powerful and most effective or the most efficient hunter. It's always the person that's the best liked. And it's really cool to think about it because, you know, even for my own purposes in business and in life, I don't think I'm particularly special. I don't think I'm particularly smart. I don't think I have some special superpower or anything like that. I just think I'm a normal person that really tries as hard as they can. It was interesting because I was talking to a friend the other day about what's the one thing that separates you from someone else. I really thought about that a lot. And I think for myself, it's stick-to-itiveness. I don't know if you... Once I make a decision, I don't change my mind very much. I just stick to it. And I'm willing to face the consequences of sticking to something. So I just stick to it, and I don't change that easily. I just stick to it. I don't change my mind a lot. I basically, you know, when I make a decision that this is what's going to happen, I just kind of endure, even though it's hard and it's difficult. I don't think about all the hardships that are kind of going to happen because that decision is made. I just feel like if I just keep pressing, it's going to happen. And I thought about that as totally on a tangent, and I think some people are built differently. I wish I was a genius. I wish I was Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates or Albert Einstein or Jeff Bezos or something like that. Like, that's just a very, like, genius level thinker. I don't think I'm that's me. I think I'm just a regular guy, but I stick to things. I'm very, I have stick-to-itiveness, if you call it. And my other friend was talking about him being, you know, very carefree, and that was one of the things that he had as his, like, one thing that he was really good, so he doesn't get emotionally attached as easily to certain things. That's not me, unfortunately. Yeah, so this was a very interesting podcast because there's no guest. I had an idea to just do one because I thought it would be fun in the afternoon while I had a little bit of time to just do a podcast, and so I did one myself, and I cannot believe it's almost been 30 minutes of me talking alone, which is kind of cool. So thank you for listening to the podcast. I don't know if it helped you. I hope it did. Go read How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, and yeah, we look forward to being with you again soon.